The 19th annual Hidden Garden Tour takes place this Thursday in Troy. WOOC correspondent Steve Pierce spoke to two of the organizers, Nina Patterson and Phyllis Conroy.
Tell us, what is the Hidden Garden Tour? Sounds very secretive, is it?
No. It's the talk of the town.
In the 1800s, when houses were built in Troy, they had horses and carriages. And so in the back of each house is a carriage house. And there was a space, a green space, that was used for the walkway between the house and the carriages. And so nowadays, these carriages have become our garages, and that space that you walk through on your way to the garage is what we call our hidden gardens. In the early days, they hung laundry up in that area, and most of us have dryers now, so there's not much laundry hung out. But the house, it's a perfect space. I forget what they say, the average 10 by 20
yes,
feet.
Yeah, 15 by 20.
And they're rarely seen by anybody but the homeowner. And as they travel from the house to the garage, and some people have done a lot of plantings and some haven't. And once a year, the homeowners open up their doors to allow visitors in these spaces, and we call that the Hidden Garden Tour. Of course, there are side yards and backyards that are not bounded by the houses or garages, and they are also featured on the tour. Nina, did you want to say?
Yes, you know, you drive along Second Street or any of the streets in downtown Troy, and all you see are the facades of houses. Beautiful, beautiful houses, and Victorian houses mostly, and have no idea that there's anything in back of them. Well, I was so surprised when I bought my house in 1987. I was taken in to the front door, and I knew instantly because of the mahogany railing going up the stairs that it was my house. And then she took me to the through the little kitchen and out the back door, and there is this gorgeous garden. I thought, oh, that's beautiful. And then I said, who owns that building back there, referring to a red brick building? She said, that belongs to the property, too. That's the carriage house. Well, nobody knew about the gardens. So I decided pretty soon that we've got to show off our gardens. I invited everybody I knew to come and see the garden, not the house so much, but the garden. And they said, people got to know about this. So it started. I met Peter Grimm. Peter Grimm is the guru of Prospect Park.
And friends, your neighbor.
And a neighbor, yes. And we became very good friends. And we're talking about the gardens. He also had a space in back of his house. And, he said, in talking about it, he said, well, we can sponsor it by Prospect Park, and have friends of Prospect Park. So, and we decided that we really had to charge something. We really didn't think much about that, but we said, okay, we'll charge $10 a ticket, and which we still do. And as long as I'm alive, it's going to be $10 a ticket. So we do raise money. We raise a considerable amount of money because we have a lot of people coming. We come in rain, shine, wind, tornado, literally tornado. Sunny shines. It's going to be sunny this week. It's going to be sunny, beautiful weather.
Excellent. So that's very interesting. I did not know the genesis of this whole project.
So good. I hope everybody listening is going to hear about it.
Oh, yes. Well, I think people are hearing about it a lot. This is actually one of the things that's so fascinating. It's the 19th annual, it seems to really have become a fixture in the Troy scene, which is exciting. What was the idea behind starting it in the first place?
To show it off, to let people know that it existed. People other than just our intimate friends who were coming to see our gardens. To let people know about the livability in downtown Troy. In fact, I know two people who actually bought houses because of the gardens in downtown Troy. They had no idea that they would be able to garden there. A lot of people want to have outside space. And this was not only outside space, it was perfect space for a garden.
I lived for a number of years in New Orleans, and it was a well-known fact that that each house had a carriage house or slaves' quarters in some cases behind them, and beautiful gardens in between. And everybody knew about that, and there was some of the restaurants took advantage of it and so forth. I was very surprised to hear that Troy had that same thing. So I think you're right that it was a very unknown feature and something that really distinguishes Troy. Do the houses in Albany of the same vintage have the same thing?
No, one of the things that gives us the advantage over the houses in Albany is that we have alleys. And when people come to this garden tour, they walk up and down the alleys where the gardens open up their gates into the alleys.
I see. So you don't have to track through somebody's house
We encourage people not to open their houses.
I see.
So they sit out and back, and sometimes they offer lemonade and cookies, or sometimes they offer more than that. It depends on who they are and what they want to do. But their gardens are open to the alleys, except for the ones, as you say, Phyllis, on the... I don't know whether you did say it or not.
Yeah, there are some that are not bounded by the backyards, and so they can come in. Some houses have double lots, so their garden is in the back and also extends out to the side. So we have all sorts of different...
If you have a moment when we're finished with this interview, I'll have to show you the Sanctuary for Independent Media's garden. We have a carriage house with no house, so the entire lot is filled with a large garden. So we are here at T-minus 1 or 2 days before the Hidden Garden Tour, the 19th annual. We're speaking with Phyllis Conroy and Nina Patterson. They're talking about what's become a fixture in the Troy area, Thursday's Hidden Garden Tour, sponsored by the Friends of Prospect Park. Now, how do people go about participating in this?
Well, if you are a homeowner, we send out a letter in, I think, March or April, and ask for those who... So first of all, we check with everyone who's been on it in the past and see whether they want to be on it again. And then word goes out that we might have openings for other gardens. So that's essentially how they get notified, and that's how they become involved.
And how does the average person or even the above average or below average person take this all in? What happens on Thursday? What do I need to do? I've never been on this tour. What do I have to do?
Well, there are signs that will be put up at some of the main entrances of the city.
All hot pink, yes. Look for the hot pink signs.
Yes. They direct them to the parking lot. It's a sage parking lot at the corner of First and Division. And there's gardens, the garages at or carriage houses that are now garages that open up onto the alleyway. We'll have a couple of tents there, and you'll see exactly where you buy your ticket, and you get a program/map that has all of the gardens that are to be seen this year.
Is it possible to bicycle through the tour?
Yes, you could certainly take a bicycle.
And is it all within walking distance? If you park your car one spot and then you can walk the rest of the way?
Exactly. You park your car, you buy your ticket, you get a map, and you start walking. So I don't know exactly how many steps or miles it is, but we've got 34 gardens, so it could take most people a good hour, depending on how much time they spend in each garden. It could take them the whole time from 4 to 7:30 to see all of them.
And that's only a glimpse. Last year there was, as far as I know, or as far as anybody told me, we had 33 gardens, I think, last year. And one person came and said, you know, I saw all the gardens, but she said I ran.
And are there... are there differences from year to year? Have you been 1 year? Is it incumbent upon you to come back again to see changes?
I think every year we invite the same people, but people move. Life happens, and so some people decide not to be on the tour, and then it seems as though the same number that may step off will step on. So we've got a new urban farm coming up this year, and one of the churches, St. Paul's Church, which has beautiful gardens in their Tiffany windows, will be open. So there's always new things coming on.
And is there food and drink involved as you go from garden to garden? Do people do that?
Not coming from the Friends of Prospect Park, not coming from us, but coming from individuals, garden owners. Sometimes they want to do that. Sometimes they don't. And whatever they want to do within the confines of their garden, they're welcome to do.
Great.
There's also a rest stop and a place you can get refreshments at Carmen's Cafe, which is on the corner of Adams and First Street. Carmen's has been involved with us right from the very beginning. So that's a good spot to know about for refreshments. And
you asked about if the gardens change from year to year. Yes, sometimes they do, and sometimes people come back to see what they saw last year that they liked, or to see if you've made any changes in your garden. Mine always was the first garden on the tour, so people would always come in and say, oh, I see you've got new iris there, or I see, oh, what happened to the forget-me-nots? I used to have forget-me-nots. And so they liked taking notes and making comments about that. And then other people really wanted to go and see new gardens that they hadn't seen at all. So no wonder. That's what I'm going to do this year. My job is to hang around and schmooze.
Nina has a story about a couple that moved in, and they were very brave. They opened up the garden as they were just shortly after they had moved in, and it was in... Why don't you tell the story, Nina?
Oh, yes. Some people across the street from me moved in, and I went over to call on them, and I was telling them about the Hidden Garden Tour. And would you... I knew they had a space in back of their house. So they said, oh, no, it looks like a bomb site. It's terrible. There are rocks around. There are trees falling down. I said, that is perfect, just perfect. And they were brave enough to put their to list their garden on the map and to have their garden on the tour, which the next year they had done so much work and had improved it so much that when people came to see it, they were astounded. And I think it gave a lot of people the inspiration and the hope that you could do stuff in back of the gardens, no matter what you got stuck with in the beginning. I like to tell people that it's the nicest thing. And when I say nice, I mean pleasantest thing that happens in downtown Troy. People, hundreds of people, literally hundreds of people. Last year we counted 700 people on this tour. And they were walking in the alleys, talking to each other, smiling, comparing notes about flowers. No, I didn't think anybody was talking about politics or unpleasant things. They were just having a good time outdoors. And it really is a cheerful, loving, yes, loving, lovable, lovely thing to have in a city.
The Downtown Business Improvement District in Troy has gotten on board, and if many of them are going to be providing discounts or coupons and things, if you bring your pink program with you, and it will be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So bring your map. When you shop downtown, a lot of businesses, you'll get a list as you check in. A lot of businesses will be offering special coupons and special deals.
Well, thank you both for coming out.
You're
really
welcome.
Appreciate it. It's a beautiful day to be indoors, and we appreciate the sacrifice.
Thank you.
Take care.
That was Nina Patterson and Phyllis Conroy. They recently spoke to WOC correspondent Steve Pierce about the 19th annual Hidden Garden Tour, which takes place this Thursday starting at 4 p.m. in Troy.